Your bulletin says Matthew 28, but I got to looking at Matthew 28, and I thought, I've preached that so many times and I love Matthew 28, but I decided to go with John, what might be called John's version. John tells us a different incident where Jesus gives what might be called the Great Commission. And this is in the 20th chapter of John's Gospel, so that's where we're going to be today, John 20. And I'm going to begin reading with verse 19. But before I read, I want to briefly explain the title of this message. You can see in the bulletin it says, God's Mission Has a Church. You know, we often think God's church has a mission, but what we just sung reminds us that what God is doing in the world precedes the formation of the church. It precedes time. It came before all creation. That God made covenant to be our saving God. In the beginning was the Word, and that Word became flesh and came among us. That's God's saving mission to save the world. God is on a mission. And God has called the church into being to be the human branch of that mission. So God's mission has a church. That's what we're for, to serve that mission. So hear now the word of God. I'm going to read John 20, beginning with verse 19. This is in the evening of Resurrection Day. That morning, the women went to the tomb and found it empty. And this is later on that same day. Hear now the word of God. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, excuse me, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I read an article online just a couple of days ago about a phenomenon that many church observers have noted throughout this country today, and that is Christian adults just giving up on church. They still will tell you that they're believers. They still will tell you that they have placed their trust in Jesus Christ, but they've given up on the church and just walked away. To me, that's very sad, but it may be because perhaps the church bears some responsibility for that. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever sat in church and asked yourself, is this it? Is this all there is? We come together once a week and we praise God and we pray and we hear the word. We have fellowship together. And sometimes you might begin to ask yourself, is this it? Is this all there is? The answer is no. This is not all there is. God has called us to a mission outside of these walls. And I praise God for these walls that God has provided for us, this place to worship. It's not going to be forever. We don't know how long, but for right now, it's a great gift to have this place. But every week, I remember a couple of weeks ago, we had a wonderful service of worship for installation for me and for our deacons and elders. And we gathered at Boone Memorial Presbyterian Church in Caldwell. And I don't know if anybody else noticed it, but over the doorway as you went out from the church over the doorway, it said, "You are entering the mission field." This text that I just read has some wonderful truths that can shape our identity if we have open hearts today and into the future. Wonderful truths here that can shape Christ Presbyterian Church as a faithful, both gathering congregation and going congregation. There's a rhythm in the life of the church of gathering and going. This incident where Jesus appears to his disciples, it takes place just hours after they've heard the news of the empty tomb. They're confused. They're afraid. And the disciples, it's easy to guess, feel like failures. And do you know why they felt like failures? They were. They felt like failures because they had failed miserably. Sometimes you feel guilty because you are. And they felt like failures because they had failed when Jesus needed them most in his hour of trial, when he was going through a mockery of a sham trial and being abused and beaten and mocked and crucified. His big, brave disciples who said, "We'll never let you down," let him down. Big, brave Peter, even three times, and the third time to a servant girl, said, "I don't know him. I don't know what you're talking about." So, now they're in this room with the locked door, and they're afraid. They're afraid of the Jewish authorities who crucified Jesus might be now coming after them. And also they feel like failures. And suddenly Jesus appears to them. And this is such gospel because he does not say, "Oh, well, here you are. Thanks for nothing." No. He came among them and he says, "Peace be with you." Now, in one sense, that's a common street greeting between Jews of the time, in fact, right down to this day. Jews will greet you with shalom, peace. But there's more going on here. We know that because it's then he repeats it again. "Peace be to you." So it's more than just, this is more than just hi. He knows everything about them. He knows their failure. He knows their doubts. He knows their fear. And what he's doing, he's reestablishing the relationship with them. From his side of the relationship, he's extending reconciliation and forgiveness. "I'm here for you. Peace to you." He reestablishes the relationship. Now, I said that this can really shape our identity as a church. We really need to get this into our heads and into our hearts, brothers and sisters, that we are all failed and broken disciples, and Jesus comes to us again and again and again to restore the relationship and say, "Peace to you. Come to me. Trust me. Let me forgive you. Let me restore you." Our Lord knows our weaknesses and our failures. I read an article in a magazine about a psychological phenomenon in people's lives. And apparently most people, in fact, virtually all people, deal with this to varying degrees. And at varying degrees at different times in your life. But it's called imposter syndrome. And it's the idea that you have an impression of Phil Moran. But I know the real Phil Moran. And I have this fear that one day the mask is going to fall off. And you're going to see that it's, you know, well, it's going to be like the Wizard of Oz, you know. A lot of flash and fury. But pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. Okay? We all have that to a certain degree. The nagging thought that you're really not who you present yourself to the world to be. And I think that there's also such a thing as spiritual imposter syndrome. And that's the nagging thought that, well, okay, yes, maybe God called me into His mission to extend the good news of Jesus. Maybe God called me into that, but He must not have checked all the references, because I can't do this. Well, brothers and sisters, I have good news for you. God has absolutely no illusions about you. God has absolutely no illusions about me. The 103rd Psalm says He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. And He comes to us in mercy and says, peace be to you. He restores the relationship. And all we need do is place our trust in Him. So the first piece of this for us is our identity in Christ. That He has come to us, broken people, and said, peace be to you, Christ Presbyterian Church. You're mine. I will not let you go. No matter our failures, He establishes the relationship. It's the foundation of our identity. Not because we're successful or powerful, but just because He's called us to Himself. This is why I believe so strongly, and I know you'll agree with me, God calls this congregation and every Christian congregation, but God calls us to be a community of His peace, a community of His grace. Where broken people are welcomed and don't need to clean themselves up to get in the door. Where we don't have to pretend that we're something that we're not. Where we can be fully human before one another. God has absolutely no illusions about us, and He knew exactly what He was doing when He called precisely this group together. You're not here by accident. You're here because God invited you here. So, Jesus has reestablished their identity as belonging with Him, and next He's going to reinstate their mission. He's going to give these failed people His mission. So there's two things here. Identity and mission. Identity and purpose. He says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Jesus came into the world on a mission. He said, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. He came like a good shepherd that will go out to gather in those lost sheep. And then He says to us, as the Father has sent me, now I'm sending you. There's a trap, though, that the church can fall into. And very often throughout history, you see the church fall into this trap, and individual churches fall into this trap. Anybody remember? There was a movie came out a few years ago starring Tom Hanks called The Terminal. And it's all about Tom Hanks being stuck in an airport. It's a fictional story. He comes from a fictional country called Kyrgyzstan or something like that. And his name is Victor. And he's stuck in JFK Airport because there's a civil war going on at his home. So there's no flights going there. But his visa has run out, so he doesn't dare leave the airport. So he finds a job in the airport. He finds places to stash his belongings in the airport. He finds places where he can sneak around and places where he can hide and sleep. He even makes friends among the other airport workers. But he never leaves the airport. But he's just waiting for the opportunity to go home. Now, It occurs to me that sometimes the church can be like that, and when we're not at our best. We turn the church into sort of an airport, and we're waiting for the flight home, right? Someday the flight is going to come, and we're all going to go home, and we're going to be in heaven with the Lord. But we stay here in the airport because we don't dare go out, you know, where it's kind of scary. And we might every now and then invite some other folks we see passing by, invite them to join us in waiting for the flight home. Sometimes we send really, really brave people outside the airport to invite people to come in and wait with us. That's not the mission of the church. Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you into the world with the good news about Jesus." Giving ourselves away as he did with the good news about Jesus and the saving power of his shed blood on the cross. So that other people can join us, not in waiting at the airport, but in that mission as we pray together, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." Now, that's a very tall order. Don't look at your watch right now. I'll just take care of it. That is a very tall order, isn't it? And we think, how can we do this? How can we be a part of this mission? I think the best part of this whole account of the end of the first Easter day, the best part, is when it says Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He gave them the Holy Spirit to empower them. He doesn't say, "Go out in your own on your own juice and in your own strength." He gives them the power of the Holy Spirit. I just got to give you a little illustration. This is what I'm going to close with. I'm wearing on my wrist. I got a new toy. My son gave this to me for. Mark's got one here too. VivoFit. Yeah. It's made by Garmin. My son, who works for Garmin, gave one to me and one to Charlotte for Christmas. And right now it's screaming at me that I'm not moving enough. It's got these red bars across the top. It's called a VivoFit. And what it does is it counts my steps every day. It sets a goal for me every day, the number of steps I'm supposed to take. And it prompts me. If I sit on my brains too long, it says, "Get up." It has these red bars that say, "Get up and move." Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a thing on your wrist that would say, "You know, Phil, you haven't shared the good news about Jesus with anybody in a while. Get off your brains and do that." Phil, I've called you to prayer, and wouldn't it be wonderful to have something on my wrist that would go red if I've gone too long without prayer? Or if I've gone too long without getting outside of my comfort zone in an act of service and love to others to share the good news about Jesus. Well, guess what? We have that. He's called the Holy Spirit. And if we keep our hearts open and we listen and we pray, the Spirit will prompt. And when the Spirit prompts, we go. We share. We love. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you," Christ Presbyterian Church. Amen? Let's pray. Mighty God, we thank you for the truth of the gospel. That it is not only true for us, it is true for all people everywhere. That Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That he died on the cross for our sins according to the scripture. That he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. We thank you that this is true, and it's true for all people. And you've called us to be a part of your great saving mission. To take that good news into all the world, beginning right here in our own neighborhoods, among our own friends and families, even right here within our own fellowship, for those that may not yet know. Send your Holy Spirit, O Lord. We cannot do this in our own strength, but only by the power of your Spirit. Give us open hearts, open lives to receive. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.